last week. Pope Francis was in the most unlikeliest of all places. He was at the US-Mexico border. I'm sure you've heard much about it already. He visited this border town of Ciudad Juarez, also once known as the most dangerous cities in the world, the most dangerous of places in the world, and we know why. Before he celebrated Mass for about 200,000 people, he laid flowers and paid respects at this little memorial. Not a little memorial, it's three crosses, one really large iron beam cross and then two crosses next to it. Laid flowers there in memory of all the immigrants who, trying to cross the border, have lost their lives. The Pope's gesture just added fuel to the already fiery and controversial issue of immigration. And of course, the Pope walked right into this presidential campaign and the debates, right? While he was in the city, he also visited the local prison there. And he's been visiting these prisons everywhere he goes, right? But the only difference with this prison is that just a week prior to his visit, 47 inmates were killed in gang-related violence inside the prison. So he's visiting this very, very dangerous place. And those of you who haven't seen a video yet, you should take a look at that. I mean, there are these people who've been, I don't know how long they've been there, some of them hardened criminals, in tears because of the Pope's visit. And here is what the Pope said to the inmates. He said, "Jesus urges us to have mercy that embraces everyone and is found in every corner of the world." So remember, he's standing at the border and talking this, right? He's talking about God's mercies present everywhere, not only in the prison, but on both sides of the border, isn't it? "There is no place beyond the reach of His mercy, no space or person that it cannot touch." Now, as I followed the Pope's visit to Mexico very, very diligently, there was also questions rising in my mind. Why could the Pope be not like any other dignitary? Visit a country, meet its religious leaders, meet the political leaders, say a huge mass, you know, 1 million, 2 million people, and, you know, meet a few people there, bless a few kids, anoint a few people who are sick, and then go home. Why does he take the risk of creating controversy? Why does he take the risk, for that matter, of losing his life? And I don't know if you saw this video, but there's one video of him really getting angry at one of the spectators because he was reaching out to them and they pulled him and he almost tipped over a person on wheelchair. And the Pope really, like, lets him have it. So it's a brief 3-second rant, but the Pope really got angry, right? And so, of course, headlines, Pope got angry, as if the Pope can't get angry. Sometimes Pope should get angry. So in any case, why does the Pope just not be like any other person? Perhaps the answer to that question can be found in today's readings. Of course, the readings are not trying to answer the Pope Francis question, but there is something that the Pope is doing which is so godlike, and I want to draw your attention to those things from today's reading. So first of all, let me lay the groundwork for this. You have two spectacular scenes in today's readings. In the first reading, you have Abraham's very first sacrifice. God is, you know, asking him and telling him that his descendants will be as large as the stars of the sky. And then God asks him to prepare a sacrifice. And Abraham does. And guess what? As Abraham stands back, this fire comes from the sky and consumes the sacrifice. And if you and I were there, we'll be watching this with our mouth wide open, isn't it? That's how spectacular it is. And then you have the gospel reading where the transfiguration happens. And the disciples are awestruck. What a fabulous sight. They just fall on their knees and they're just taken up, but they can't even talk. So too spectacular. It's possible for us to get caught up in that story. And I'm not saying we should not. These are important events. But there are deeper messages under the story. And that's what I want to discover with you. So in my 3 points, I'm going to talk about what's underneath these stories. What do we get if we scratch the surface behind these stories? So here's my first point. And I've called it, it's about the covenant. So here's a scene where Abraham is preparing for the sacrifice. A flaming torch consumed the sacrifice, and then the reading ends with these words. It was on that occasion that the Lord made a covenant with Abraham. It was on that, that is the point of the story. And you might ask, so what's new about that? Well, it's not new for us because we know the word covenant over and over again. But for them, for Abraham, this is path breaking. This is revolutionary. What's happening? God, who is so awesome, whose name cannot even be pronounced by the people of the time, this God who, if you lay your sight on this God, you would die, this God is making an unbreakable bond with human beings. Unheard of. And what is a covenant? A covenant is where two people make a contract. In other words, God enters human history. God enters human lives. God speaks to us like people speak with each other. God gives us laws that can guide humanity. This is a big deal. God makes a covenant, and the covenant reaches its climax when Jesus comes into the picture. So God not only enters into a relationship with us, but God offers us God's own life, God's Son. Isn't that what the Transfiguration said? This is my chosen Son. And what does that mean? God is with us. So it's like the Pope, right? Who's visiting these dangerous places? God did not have to come to us. God did not have to take the risk. God does not have to enter into a controversy, but God does. It was risky. How risky was it? That's how risky it was. And all because of the covenant that God made with Abraham. God is, for once and for all, part of us. Big deal. Big deal. So that's the first message that's underneath these stories. But I'm going to continue from there to talk about Jesus, who is part of that covenant. In fact, Jesus becomes the new covenant. Now, the word sacrifice is going to be very, very significant in the second point. Abraham prepared for God a sacrifice. And what did God say to Abraham? God said, bring me a 3-year-old heifer, a 3-year-old she-goat, a 3-year-old ram, a turtle dove, and a pigeon. This is what God commanded Abraham to bring. And Abraham did what God asked him. And except for the birds, he split the animals into two and laid them on the altar. Sacrifice. Keep that at the back of your mind. This sacrifice is only a foreshadow of what is to come. Abraham prepares a sacrifice. Now at the transfiguration, another sacrifice is being prepared. Luke says to us that when the disciples saw Jesus and he was transfigured, there were two other figures that appeared there. Moses and Elijah. And Luke even tells us what they were talking about to Jesus. This is what he says. They spoke of the exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. And how did that exodus happen? You know how that exodus happened. Again, the exodus happened because of Christ's death on the cross. This is the ultimate sacrifice. So what happens in the Old Testament with Abraham is only a foreshadow of the other sacrifice. This new exodus will be accomplished by a new kind of sacrifice. That sacrifice was not offered by human beings. That sacrifice was offered by God. And that sacrifice, it was not the blood of animals that was shed. It was the blood, flesh and blood of Jesus, God's Son. So this new exodus becomes, as it were, the new covenant. Which means what? God made a covenant with Abraham, but Jesus makes a covenant with all of humanity. That includes you and I. Why are we sitting in church today? Why are we here today on a Sunday morning? Beautiful day outside. Could be golfing or cooking or knitting or just sleeping. We're here. Why? There are three people here today who are making and taking an incredible step to become Catholic. Why? Because of this new covenant, because of this new sacrifice, because of Jesus, because God is inextricably connected to us in a way that we can hardly imagine. It's the covenant. And the third point, we are invited. Abraham, God makes a covenant. The disciples see something fabulous, and Jesus invites them into his life. In other words, a covenant has two parties to it, God and us. And we're equal. We're not equal, but God has made us equal. Right? Two people entering into this covenant. What is God saying by that covenant? God is saying, I'm not inviting you to my life in some limited way. I want you to enter into the depths of divine life. So the covenant is an invitation into the very life of God. Jesus is asking us to move forward towards our eternal destiny. Just like Jesus is moving towards Jerusalem, we are being asked to move towards the eternal destiny. And how do we do that? Pope Francis is showing us the way. How can we move with Jesus? How can we be people of this new covenant? So, really, mercy, compassion, genuine love, caring about one another, keeping the gospel at the center, trying to love like Jesus did, letting Christ loose in our lives, rejecting the lure of scandalous wealth, of greed, of self-serving power. This is the way that Pope Francis is showing. In other words, the invitation that Jesus gives to us and God gives to us in the covenant is, please, would you walk with me all the way? Not halfway, not reluctantly, not lazily. God is showing us the awesomeness of God. It's a great covenant. And God is saying, please, walk with me. This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Please listen to him. We have to walk the Jesus way. So to the candidates that I hear, folks, it's not just something that you're going to do this morning. Don't think about it as that you're doing something. God is asking you to become somebody. And that's what you're going to say yes to. So let God enter into the depth of your being. It should be like when you think about God, you should have tears in your eyes because of what God has done and how you are going to respond to God. Let God touch you there as closely and deeply as possible. And we're all going to do that. The Eucharist is always our transfiguration experience, huh? Here is where God remakes God's covenant with us, and we are invited into the depths of God. Please, along with these candidates, let us also prepare ourselves to renounce that which keeps us away from God and lay our lives at God's feet. People of God said, Amen.